All right, Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. 11 seasons in, the season premiere of NBC's Chicago Fire airs Wednesday, September 21st, along with the premiere of Chicago PD, Med, hottest night on television because of these two, and talk about it all is David Eigenberg and Chris Stolte. What's going on, guys?
Howdy, Dave.
Dr. Player.
What's going on? By the way, I am good. I got the note from both your attorneys. Apparently, now I have to switch whose name I say first.
We just need you to alternate.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. So we started with David. We'll go to Chris. And then after the break, you guys are being very Martin and Lewis here. I'm just saying.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And after saying both of them, you could just say mommy. It'd be kind of weird, but cool.
It would be weird. I'm just going to say
Dave, mommy.
All right. So let's talk about the summer. Before we get into new season, back to work, what did you do for fun this summer? Dave, we'll start with you.
I feel like that little clock goes ding, 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 ding. I put my family in the car and we turned up all the devices and we drove to New Jersey. And my kids got really bored. And I had the imaginative thought that they were going to learn something about themselves and create something, in their wonderful imaginations. And at the end, there was nothing but contempt and boredom and banging heads on windows.
Oh no. How old are the kids again? Are they all teens? Are they, what are they?
No, 13 and 8. Yeah, they didn't think it was interesting or fun to go back to the old days.
Yeah, so, yeah. Did you visit?
Well, they weren't their old days is the problem.
That's true.
They don't want to go back to your old days.
That's it. Yeah.
Chris, I got to talk to you during the summer break, too, to get you in on this stuff that... I like the foresight.
Yeah. You know, it's really hard, especially at that age, because I've got kids similar age. But, you know, we want them to engage with other human beings eventually. And it's very hard to do that when all they're doing is engaging and talking on I don't even talk. They text and Snapchat and everything else on their phones. Like, when do you find a time, Dave, that you can sit down and talk to your child? Probably never.
Well, at dinner, I make everything turn off, and then once in a while, a conversation will bust loose, and I go, "Oh, there it is, that old time thing, that old orange scarf is of life is around my neck, and I can communicate with my family and my son, and I'm happy for a moment."
Yeah, for a moment, yeah. We have a basket too that we throw it all on the counter, and sometimes there's a phone missing; it's underneath someone's leg. Because they're waiting for a response from something. But, I try to do that, too. Chris, what about the family? I know you got older kids, but you got grandkids, right?
Yeah, I did have grandkids. That was probably the best part of my break was hanging out with the little ones.
Aww.
Who are 5, 4, and 2 right now and all about to have birthdays. But, they're a wild, wild handful, and I absolutely love hanging out with them. My older kids... You know, they're too, it's too late, really. My youngest is in her second year at Arizona State. It's too late for me to try to govern their phone usage, you know.
Yeah.
But the younger one, you know, the older one has 3 kids keeping her busy. The younger one has a lot of, you know, schoolwork to be ready for and stuff like that. She's also kind of a club joiner and a, you know, interest pursuer and stuff like that. So we kind of leave her to, govern her own time on the devices. And again, my older one, good luck spending time on your device when you have 3 kids, 5 and under,
I would think so. Did you do any significant traveling this summer?
No, we have a place that's been in my wife's family on the lake in Michigan City, Indiana. And we had assumed that it would be ready to occupy by the beginning of our hiatus. And so we made no plans, but that turned out not to be the case. I am there right now, and it is still under construction, but it is in that interim phase where it's also livable. But the construction guys just left a couple hours ago, so work is still underway. It's a compromised situation. We've also got Randy Flagler out here right now who plays Cap on Chicago Fire.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, last weekend we had some of the other cast out. Randy was out of town, so we created a makeup weekend for him.
And, did he get a voucher?
Yeah. He got a voucher. I know I told you no vouchers last time, but that's because I really wanted you to come.
So now that the construction people are gone, you, Chris, naturally you have people that are not like bringing you drinks and getting you ready for your Friday evening.
Where do you get the idea? And I'm just curious. I don't mean to sound like I'm attacking. Yeah. Where do you get the idea that people would bring me things?
Well, you know, Chicago Fire is like syndicated. I see it all the time. And like, you know, so you're getting the swimming pools, movie stars.
Money for sure. Servants.
You make me
I don't need anybody on the payroll. You know what I mean?
You, I get you Fresca all the time. You're like, hey, give me a Fresca.
To you? He says it to you?
I always act like I can't remember his name. Hey, you! Grab me a Fresca. David and I have a ritual where many mornings we will split a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich from our catering.
Mm-hmm. And you snap your fingers for that, and it appears.
You know what, buddy? It's even more passive than that. We don't have to do anything. It just shows up.
Okay.
When you order the same thing every day, they know what to bring to your trailer in the morning.
It's nice.
When you get up at 4:30 and that and whatnot, but I tell you, I have a weird. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was my father was Depression era or that I'm a thief. But I enjoy eating somebody else's food more than eating my own food.
Oh, I have that problem
too. So when Chris gives me that, I get some kind of perverse satisfaction that it tastes better than if I'd gotten it myself.
Yeah.
I've made that same observation about you, David, and what I think it comes from is low self-esteem. You assume that anything anybody else has chosen to have as their food was a better choice than what you would have chosen, so their food, you assume, your starting point is, that's better food than I would have gotten.
Kind of a therapy session here. Yeah, kind of a therapy session.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry if this is shocking.
If you help me order it in the morning, I could get my own stuff?
Well, as it turns out, half of a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant is exactly the serving I need. I don't wake up ravenously hungry. Yeah. I have to kind of force myself to eat in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Let's not mess with it because it works.
You know, I kind of do that at dinner, too, where I kind of looking around the room to see what everybody else is ordering, and it's might be something of one of my choices, then I'll order something else because I know I'm going to try.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sounds like a pretty selfish thing, but I like it.
I get it. Any way you can sort of strategize and end up choosing your top two things.
Right.
Yeah, you got to go with that.
Right, right. Anything else that you didn't fit in for summer that you're going to try to squeeze in while the weather's still nice?
Oh, I don't think so. Once the show starts up, we're kind of locked in.
You're in already.
You might get lucky once in a while and have a light episode where you've got, you know, a 4-day weekend or something like that, but you can never know when that day is coming.
Yeah.
So unless you're one of those people who's comfortable, you know, making last-minute travel arrangements and paying those kind of airline prices, I guess that's just not me.
I gotcha. Well, both of you and the rest of the cast of these great Chicago shows are back at work. We're going to talk about the new season, the much buzzed about filming the Pickwick Theater on the north side in Park Ridge. And if you got a question for David and Chris, we'll open up the phone lines, 312-981-7200. David and Chris back here on 720 WGN. All right, Chris Stolte, David Eichenberg from NBC Chicago Fire joining us here on 720 WGN. If you have a question for Chris or David or David or Chris, 312-981-7200. Do you guys see Randolph Mantooth and stuff on set ever?
No. Wait, is there a rumor he's creeping around?
Well, that was the emergency theme. I think we used the wrong fire show.
Happened the second you went to commercial break, your producers came, dragged you out of the studio, and played you some archival tape of the last time you opened the phone lines for David Eichenberg.
Is that what it was? That might have been
the
it.
Last time.
That might have been
it. I count on you to not remember, too. That's the best part.
There you go.
We have some phone callers here, so let's go to Maureen on the line from 773. Maureen, welcome to 720 WGN. What's your question?
Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to say, when you guys were filming in Park Ridge a few weeks ago, all of us went, the whole group from the neighborhood, a couple different nights, and you guys were awesome. You were so good to everybody who came up and begged you for photos and everything. So two questions. One, did you have a favorite place in Park Ridge? Are you, like, any place you got to hang out there? And then number two, I know you guys work with a lot of real firefighters. Did you ever have an ambition to be a firefighter or, you know, kind of interest in that?
You want to go first, Dave?
Yeah, well, my favorite place that I got to hang out in Park Ridge was aisle L, seat 32 in the theater there. Oh. That's pretty much where we hung out. They don't let us go out about, they don't let me go out because I
was the same way with the driver's seat of truck 81 or the bumper of squad. That's where I spent the most.
Yeah.
The back bumper of squad. Maureen, I've spent some time in Park Ridge, and we've gone to a few of the places there. We've been to Holt's a handful of times, and those were some wild nights out there. We were out there for 3 nights, I think.
Yeah.
Did they fly a part of that?
I was trying to hook up with these guys, but they were working, for God's sake. They were doing their job.
It wasn't just that. We were strongly discouraged from going down to where you were because was an eruptive group of Taylor Kinney fans.
Oh, yeah.
they were a little afraid of.
Yeah, that's why Maureen was there, too. Yeah, she was there for that.
No, not you. I got a picture with Mouch. Come on.
See? There you go.
Good.
There you go.
Was he a jerk? Yeah.
No, it was very, very great. Appreciated that.
Excellent. Wait, did we get both of your questions?
Did you ever want to be a firefighter?
Yeah. Any interest in firefighting?
You do the other one.
What about the other one?
The other. Yeah. Did you have
the other one was about any places we may have spent time at.
Fire and,
yeah. Did you ever want to be a first responder or fireman in your lifetime?
My dad was a cop, and I think if anything, I kind of leaned that way.
Okay.
All right.
That's good, too. We like them, too.
Thanks, Mo. Appreciate the call.
Right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Ben, we had a texter or a caller call, and he couldn't stick around the line, but what was the question?
It's a question I'm curious about. The caller was wondering, who is your stunt coordinator? Because I have to agree, the stunts you do on that show are phenomenal. I mean, the amount of people that called in.
Thank you. And that's the one of the reasons we're lucky that we came at the beginning of this wave of production in Chicago, is that we were able to lock in Rick Lefevre, who is at the very top of the heap of stunt guys. Probably anyone else you would hire as a stunt coordinator was probably trained by Rick Lefevre.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
He's the
classic
best.
Old school. Really as calm as, what's the calmest thing you can think of, Chris? Because I can't, like a really calm.
I would say the crystal clear waters of Lake Tahiawanka.
Yeah, Hiawanka. And he's a calming, you know, it's funny, you have this image of like, sometimes I had this image of like, you know, stunt guys, hey, let's go. Hey. He actually.
Yeah, no.
He is the exact opposite. And all stunt, really good stunt guys are really calm and quiet, and they're just like, all about safety and how we're going to do this and we're going to make that happen like this. And they get a beat on you if you got to do something a little bit. Because if you get like a little amped up, they're like, you know, we're going to let Brian take this one today. The director wants it to go that way. And they go,
yeah.
But carrying and walking around, because I saw, you know, I was there. I saw you guys, and you're carrying around that equipment and everything. It's like, you know, normal firefighters. I mean, if they're going out, I'm sure they're wearing it for hours at a time if there's a major fire. But you guys are, I think you probably wore it for 6 hours. You're walking around with that stuff. That's no easy treat.
Tony Ferraris, who is the real CFD squad firefighter, he has confirmed for us that we end up staying in our bunker gear or tanked up far longer than he ever would on a typical day on the job.
I would think so.
So that by the time you've been on this show for 10 years, you've spent as much time in bunker gear as a 30-year firefighter. You know?
I bet you did. But were you amazed at the crowds that were there? I mean, there were crowds everywhere. I mean, across the street, every corner, there were groupies. Like, did you guys have any room keys or were you discouraged usually?
Well, it's a bit of a firefighter neighborhood, or at least it's close to Edison Park or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I did kind of anticipate it. What about you, Dave?
Wait, Dave, did you just say we handed out room keys for, like, our hotel rooms?
Yes, I did.
Wow! We didn't have hotels, but I didn't even think of that. I don't know.
You should just have randomly handed out keys.
I'm not
that
60, and most of my the people that show me some affection, I don't know if they want a key.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, Dave, I'm a little insulted by the question because I live in Skokie, so it was an unusually short drive to work for me. Yeah. I didn't need a hotel.
Right.
But yes, I did hand out some of my house keys.
I just I would just think with all the syndication money, again, you'd just be at a hotel somewhere.
I think I don't know how to explain it mathematically, but sadly, the whole syndication game has dried up compared to how it used to be.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, there is this myth of like, we're just rolling in it until the days, until the days, you know, the weeds grow over our heads. And it's changed. Yeah.
No, we can roll in it for about a week and a half.
Well, that was 30 years ago.
A week and a half.
Wise up.
There's just too much other television now. It's not as precious as it used to be.
That's true. There's a lot of that, too. You're right. I got to go take a quick break. Hang on, though, guys. Chris Stolte, David Eigenberg, or David, I don't know what order we're in now, but they're going to be back with us in a minute after we take a look at your roads. See what I did there? David Eigenberg, Chris Stolte, NBC Chicago Fire, premieres Wednesday, September 21st, joining us here on 720 WGN. So there's a lot of cliffhangers. I know you can't talk really about what you've been filming, but season 10 cliffhanger, there's a wedding, there's a love triangle, and probably what everybody's kind of waiting for to see what happens this season is Mouch lost his couch.
Wow, yeah. Is that couch ever really going to fit in? You know, it's problematic. And it is largely the focus of season 11.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
But actually, Dave and I are two people who did start the fire.
Is that right?
Along with where we started it. I mean, there's a lot of people who hopped on the wagon later. But, you know, with Taylor and Eamon and Randy and Tony and, you know, Joe Minoso and a handful. That's it. There's a handful of us. Been around this whole time, and you can tell you can tell when you're in a room with us. You can tell who the long timers are because of how damaged we are, right, Dave?
Absolutely,
yeah. We got another caller on the line, Cheryl from Schaumburg on the line. You're on 720 WGN. Hi, Cheryl.
Yes. Hi, Dave. Hi, Chris. Just want to say,
Cheryl.
You guys. Hi. How are you? It's a great honor to talk to you guys. Love the show. Watch all the time. And we were very honored. I was very honored. We had you at you did a filming in Schaumburg at Zurich at our insurance company about 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was an honor. Yeah. We got to see you from the windows. We couldn't get too close, but we
Were they nice?
We enjoyed having you guys.
Were they nice?
They were.
Oh, there you go.
I remember going out to Schaumburg, but remind me what the incident was.
Yeah, I think it was a chemical fire. We were
chemical fire.
College. It was a college.
Oh, yes. That was a big one.
It was the early driving for Miranda, plays, I don't know what her name is, Rosalie Kidd or something.
Yeah.
And she made that corner turn, and she clipped the post, and she wrecked the fire truck, which wasn't in the episode.
No.
Remember that?
Whoops.
There was a scene, I think. We did see that. But I just want to say it was an honor to have you guys. It was phenomenal. We enjoyed it, and it was just great to see the making of it. And it's just amazing how you carry all that heavy load on your back.
We hope we get to come out and see you again on our Season 11 tour of Chicago satellite neighborhoods.
That'd be awesome. Try to come back
out. You're very kind. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Cheryl, for the call. I appreciate that. How often are you out filming in the neighborhoods and stuff versus in studio? Is it much more so than originally? Is it 60% of the time? Is it half and half? What is it usually, Chris?
It's one of the first things I look at when I size up a script. How much time am I going to be at the stage? Which has become sort of the most comfortable place to shoot. You know, your resources are more readily available to you versus just being at some random, usually gravel parking lot or, you know, chopped up asphalt parking lot of some abandoned factory or things like that. And then there's the third wild card is how much time will we be at the real firehouse, Firehouse 18 on Blue Island, Racine, and 14th Street. Now, this particular episode involves a Halloween sort of haunted house that we're doing. So we spent an inordinate amount of time in this episode at the real firehouse out on the aprons, the little driveways there, setting these things up. So it really depends on what the episode requires. If there are multiple calls in an episode, then we're going to spend a whole lot of time outdoors at various locations, which is fine now, but once the cold sets in, I prefer more stage time.
Yeah, I was going to say, 224 just sent in an area code. You're carrying a lot of heavy gear, so do you prefer to be outside in the winter or in the summer?
Summer.
Yeah. Wow.
The winter. But can I go back to the last question? Because Chris Gage's, I'm going to do the shorthand on this. The Chris Gage's things on the outside, the on the stage, the comfortability, the mobility thing is how close is the toilet? That's what Chris Gage's, as do I on many mornings once you have a certain things go on, is where is the bathroom?
I think that was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where Larry was going to create an app so he could find the closest bathroom. It's intelligent.
That app would have to be updated on a daily basis, unfortunately, because we're talking about the PMOs, the mobile, toilet, and that gets parked in various places. And often the problem is we're in some neighborhood or we're in some, industrial part of town, and the PMO and craft services are two blocks away in opposite directions. And people, those things need to be right next to each other.
Gotcha.
The place where you get the food and the place where you relieve yourself need to be a walk in one direction. That's for anyone who ends up working in locations in our business. There may be only a handful of those in your audience, but I want to talk to them.
There's an interesting question from 847. Do you ever watch the episodes when they air? Do you ever see yourself or do you do the work? There's a lot of actors and actresses that do the work and they never really go back and see it in its entirety. Like, what, David, tell me, do you watch anything? Do you watch these shows?
Some stuff I watch. Sometimes I do watch it. I watch it more for a technical thing. There's, we have a certain stage craft and a camera craft. And so I kind of go, I wonder if something worked or didn't work. And I enjoy, I love watching other people's performances. I don't really watch all that much for my own. I make myself cringe. My family cringes when I'm on the TV. So there's not a lot of adoration going on within my four walls. So it's not really, but they do love other characters on the show. My family, but we don't watch. They don't want to watch. They're kind of like, if Dad was in, nothing against the accountants. I mean, my dad was, but you don't want to watch the guy crunch the numbers. They don't really want to watch me, making the sausage. They don't.
What about you, Chris? Yeah. Do you get to watch any of them? You catch them?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't miss an episode because it's one of the best shows on television.
Yeah,
it's not even. I happen to be on it. You know what I mean?
Yes,
that's
right.
How I see it.
That's right.
It surprises me a little bit every time I see myself because I'm not watching it for that.
Gotcha.
Yes. There was this thing about one of the greatest actors of the greatest actor of our generation.
Oh my God,
Chris Nolte.
Chicago Fire. And
I grew weary of hearing it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's right. That happened to you like seven or eight times. The greatest actor of our generation.
Look at you. Congratulations.
Of our generation.
Congrats, man.
All you have to do is repeatedly say that about yourself in front of people for a period of 3 or 4 months, and somehow it gets its own momentum, and other people will repeat it as well.
I like that.
Gee,
that's a smart idea.
That phenomenon.
That's a smart idea. David Eigenberg, Chris Nolte. Chris Nolte, David Eigenberg. Catch him on the new season of NBC's Chicago Fire. First episode of the new season airs Wednesday, September 21st. Hey, go have a Friday, everybody.
You too, brother.
Thanks again, guys.
You take care.
Be good.
When you're signing off, you should always end with Dave Eigenberg. Always end with me.
Okay, end with you. I got it.
I'll let my lawyer call you.
All right, thank you. Thanks, guys. All right.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Take care. All right.